Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And speaking of help, we're going to get a lot of it, as we always do, from Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie, good morning.
Hey, Denny, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well, staying cozy inside. Yes. I'm looking at the temperature. Wow, we zoomed up to 12 degrees. And I wanted to ask you, now, fortunately, at least, I don't know about your neighborhood, but we got, I bet, close to 7 inches of snow at our house.
Yeah, we did too. It was amazing.
And it was much needed. Now, given these cold temps, fortunately, it happened in this order. We didn't get the cold and then the snow, although we did have some cold. How do you think, I mean, looking at that crystal ball of yours, and how are our shrubs and lawns going to look like if we don't get any more snow?
Oh, man. Well, that's a great question. And I think what's the good thing about this is that it's moisture, right? So
yeah.
We have some kind of moisture, and we do have some kind of insulation on plants during these really cold temperatures that we've had recently. So that's good too. Snow is a great insulator. They call it the poor man's insulator. And so it can help to keep plant roots more protected during those really cold temperatures, because it would have been a big shock to our plants to suddenly go into, you know, 9 degrees or less without that snow cover. So that was a blessing. So we're happy about that. But I think they're going to be, you know, we're going into the 40s in the next few days.
Yes.
So we're going to lose that snow.
Yep.
It's going to melt and run off and maybe soak in the warmer areas of our yards, those little microclimates where it's really quite toasty. But for the most part, I think, I don't know. If we don't get any more snow, I hope it's just a gradual warm up after that.
With more moisture on the way,
because
I'm concerned that that we're going to end up with another dry spring and summer.
Yeah, very possible. Very possible. Yeah. As gardeners, we have to be ready to pivot at any moment, I think, these days.
Sure. Let's get our listeners involved, Julie. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you know how busy we tend to get. So don't wait. The earlier, the better. You send us your question either by phone. We'd love to hear your voice. Or send us a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. What's going on at the Arboretum where you are lucky to have an office?
Yes, I am. Well, it's beautiful. The snowscape is lovely. And people have been out hiking and walking. We get quite a bit of foot traffic throughout the entire year. Not as much as in the spring and summer, of course, but even in the winter, people are out walking. And there's a lot to see even in the winter. I like looking at plants from a winter standpoint because I like looking for that winter interest about the plant. You know, the color of the stems, the form of the plant, how it looks against a snowscape. So those are important things to think about when you're looking for plants this spring. And we have a great tool at the Arboretum called Plant Finder. It is on our website at arb.umn.edu. You can type in the name of a plant that you're curious to see. And if it is growing on the grounds, it will give you all the locations that you can see that plant. So it's a really cool tool if you're interested in seeing a plant maybe in the landscape versus just in a nursery pot.
And if you're planning on heading to the Arboretum, maybe for the first time, you're going to love it because you will be back more often.
Right.
What is exactly, because we don't maybe get into too many details outside of get on the web. Give us a little more instruction on how to get out there.
So if you visit arb.umn.edu, you can go ahead and reserve your ticket. We do that to help manage the crowds. And you can just do that. Members, it's free. If you're not a member, I think it's, how much is it now? It just went up in the price to get in. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. But you can come into the Arboretum. We have the flower show going on right now, which started February 8th. And it's awesome.
What's that about?
Oh, man. All over the inside, you know, the Oswald Visitor Center, the Snyder Building, are beautiful interior designs using fresh flowers, live plants. It just smells like spring in the building, and it's really, really lovely. So this is a great time to go out. There are a lot of crowds, a lot of people, so be sure to get that ticket and pick a time that you can come. But it's really, really something to see.
And you do it online.
And you do it online. And you can, that way you can have a place, you know, there's parking and there's enough room for everybody to be there because it gets pretty crowded during the flower show. But it's just gorgeous. And there's the gift shop and the cafe and, you know, just a really nice place to spend a snowy day.
I was going to say that you could get a little bit of food there too.
Right. Yeah. Some hot coffee, tea, whatever.
Outstanding. Yeah, the Arboretum, you just have to check it out. It is just, and it's a great place not only for yourself, but to bring family and friends. It's a great destination. Let's do this, Julie. Let's grab a phone call. I think Leslie's calling in from Excelsior, Minnesota this morning. Leslie, you're on CCO. What can we do for you?
Well, good morning. I'm glad I got right on.
Yeah.
See, I sent you a text a couple weeks ago about tapping black walnut trees.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I've done that, and I've made 3 cups of black walnut syrup.
Woo-hoo, that's
and
some good syrup.
It is, yeah, just what it said when I researched it online. It's nutty and caramely-like, and I've had so much fun with it. The only reason I knew they were running, I have about 12 really big black walnuts in my woods.
Wow.
And I screwed a screw in to hang a birdhouse, a new birdhouse, and then I noticed it was just weeping from that point.
Right.
So I went online, got a little kit, and I tapped 6 trees, and I got about 6 gallons.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Sap. And, you know, I boiled it down in my kitchen, and it was really fun, and then I didn't realize, you know, now they'll start running again probably tomorrow. So
yeah,
it's been a really fun really fun to research and learn how to do that. I also learned they have the same sugar content. It's like a 1 to 40, like maple trees are. But I've also learned they don't put out as much sap.
Okay.
That's interesting. What do we get mostly, you know, when you go to the grocery store, Julie? What is it, you know, clover, honey, that we see?
Yeah, well, we get, I'm so excited that you tapped the black walnut, Leslie, because I tried black walnut.
We're talking
syrup.
Of syrup, not honey.
Yeah,
sorry about
syrup.
That.
I tried black walnut syrup. My friend and faculty member, Brandon Miller, and Neil Anderson, who's our department head in horticultural science, they actually had a grant to study maple or black walnut syrup. And so they shared some of it with us, and it was heads and tails above maple syrup.
Really?
I'm sorry for all the maple syrup lovers, I love maple syrup.
Yeah.
That syrup knocked my socks off. At the same time, we were tapping yellow birch. There's lots of trees to tap, and that's a completely different type of syrup. So we got about 50 gallons of yellow birch sap, but it's 100 to 1.
Yeah.
So that's 100 parts of sap to get 1 gallon of syrup from a yellow birch. So it's very low, high water, low sugar content. And it tastes completely different. It's more of something you might glaze meat with instead of pour on your pancakes. It's got more of an earthy flavor to it.
Huh.
But boy, that was a really fun project last year.
I don't know as if I've ever seen that kind of syrup in stores.
Yeah, it's expensive because of the high. It takes so long to boil it down.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like fun, but it truly is a labor of love, I guess, when you have to convert so many gallons to a little of it. Wow.
And there are some things called like a reverse osmosis bucket that will take out about 80% of the water that you can buy online. It takes a while for the sap to run through it, but it reduces and concentrates that sap so that when you go to boil it, it doesn't take as long.
Wow. All right. I tell you what, I'm getting a signal here, Julie. Time to take a quick break. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can call it in or text it in, whichever is easier. Just one number will get you either a phone call or text. 651-461-9226. This is our Smart Garden Show. We're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to folks like Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering those particular questions. Again, 651-461-9226. More lawn and garden questions coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden questions. 651-461-9226. Here's one for you, Julie. Last fall, texter says, I bought an amaryllis dancing queen. It was beautiful.
Nice.
I want to keep it and see if it will bloom again, but I do not want to put it outdoors. What to do?
Oh, I'm sorry you don't want to put it outdoors. That is too bad because they really benefit from all the sunshine and during the warm months and the rainwater as well when we do get rain. If you don't want to put it outside, then you need to treat it like a houseplant, but give it plenty of light. So put it in the sunniest possible window that you have. And then also, if you don't have a sunny window in your house, you'll have to supplement it with grow lights. So they really need to do a lot of photosynthesis in the summer months to store a lot of energy in that big, huge bulb to prompt that blooming the next year. In the fall, when our weather gets colder, you're going to want to bring that plant or put that plant in a location that's kind of dark and let it just die. Let the leaves just die back. The bulb will be fine and kind of rest. You were putting it into a sort of dormancy. And then bring it out after about 12 weeks into another sunny window. And at that point, hopefully it will have concentrated those energies and we'll be able to put up a bud for you.
All right. Very good. Good luck with that. Again, 651-461-9226. Grab a phone call this morning. Jack calling in from Jenkins this morning. Jack, thank you. What is your question for Julie?
Well, Julie, I have a question on a weeping willow tree we bought about 2.5 years ago. We planted it, had a really good start. Then the next year, it seemed to be doing fine. But in the middle of last year, the bottom branches seemed to be dying off, and it just wasn't flourishing like we thought it would. Anything that we should be doing different for that?
Was it in a pretty moist location?
It's in a moist location. I have it next. It gets sunlight, and then right on this bank, there's a swampy area right below it. Okay. So there's moisture down in the ground. It's on the north end of our lot. Gets plenty of sunshine, and we did water it significantly, I thought, when it started struggling.
Okay.
So
I'm not sure what would be happening to it. Except that maybe I would watch it this year and see how it does. If you can mulch the base of it, if you haven't done that, that's always a good thing to do. Or make sure that there's, you know, if you've got plants planted underneath it or something, just to keep that soil temperature moderate and to protect, keep it kind of cooler during the hot times of the year and help hold in that moisture. But maybe give it another shot this year, take a look at it. And call us back if something, you know, whether it does really well or if you have other additional questions this year, if it seems to be doing the same thing.
Yeah, very good. Yes, call us or text us with your lawn and garden question. 651-461-9226. Another phone call. Let's go to Bill, who is calling in from Waverly, Minnesota. Hi, Bill. What is your question for Julie?
I was wondering when the best time to start my cannas inside.
I think that you could start those now. You can pot them up, put them in a sunny window, water them, and they should be looking pretty good by the time you can set them outside when it's reliably warm. I'm kind of feeling like we're going to have a very early spring based on the winter we've had. So I think you could start those now and get them outside. Put them in a big enough pot, though, so you know, hopefully you won't have to transplant them, but unless you transplant them into your garden. So I grow them in pots in my front entry area sometimes, and I always like to pot them up in those pots.
Okay.
I can just move them outside.
Line is open if you want to call or send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Julie Texter says this: good morning. I have not had potted tulip plants before and wanted to know how long they last and how much light they need to thrive.
So we have really lovely bulb gardens that are available right now. They start coming out around end of January or so in preparation, especially for Valentine's Day. Excuse me. And they are, these are bulbs that are called, they've been forced, meaning that they've been subjected to a cold, dark environment, artificial, like a cooler, and then they are brought out into warm environments and they start to sprout. So you're kind of fooling the bulbs into thinking they've gone through winter when they actually have just gone into a cooler. Once they produce flowers, it's, excuse me, they need a lot of sunshine, and they are not technically or really typically that hardy to go forward to rebloom again. Like you can't, some people will try to plant them out in their landscapes, but they're not big bloomers like year after year. Because they've been forced, they've really used up a lot of their energy in that bulb. So it's kind of hit or miss whether you'll get more flowers from them in the following years, but you can always try, and you would want to then put them outside in a sunny spot as soon as the soil can be worked and you can plant them deep enough.
All right. This listener says this via the text, Julie: what is a good plant in a greenhouse that blooms a lot? What's a good plant that blooms a lot?
Good. I like the tropical hibiscus. That's a very floriferous plant. Blooms a lot. That's a great one. And that would be an inside plant, an indoor plant, but you can move it outside in the summer as well. That's terrific. That's the first one that I can think of off the top of my head. But we have a great website in our flower section of Yard and Garden at extension.umn.edu. And there's a whole list of different indoor plants that you can grow at different light levels. So I guess a greenhouse, it would be the lightest level. It would be probably the highlight plants, we call them.
Okay. You know, before we take a look at that forecast, let's grab another phone call. I think Scott is checking in from White Bear this morning. Scott, good morning. What is your question for Julie?
Hey, I've got a red maple. It's, I want to say, 20 years or plus more, about 25 foot tall. But it's got a lot of exposed roots, and half of it is kind of on a downward slope towards my driveway. I was wondering if I should cover those roots, like put a mulch over them and maybe build a little wall where it's sloping away, or just leave them as is.
Well, if it's 20 years old, it's got roots that spread out quite far from what we see exposed from the soil. Mulch is always a great idea for plants. You want to just prevent, you just don't want to cover up the root flare. So don't go crazy with the mulch, piling it up around the trunk. You want to actually let that root flare be exposed. It might be kind of tricky on a slope to put in mulch like that. As far as a wall goes, I would probably just get a few really nice boulders and tuck them in here and there just to kind of add a little more stability if you're feeling like that tree is starting to lean. But remember that these trees have roots that expand far past their canopy width. So they grow more out than down. So there's lots of roots that are holding that tree in at this point.
Right.
But mulching is always a great idea. So protects those roots, keeps that soil moderate, that temperature, and also holds in moist point.
Right.
But mulching is always a great idea. So protects those roots, keeps that soil moderate, that temperature, and also holds in moisture as well, and reduces weeds. So good stuff.
Very good, Julie. Hang on. We're going to be taking a break and having a look at that forecast, see what kind of warm-up we're talking about. And we have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, let's hear from you now. 651-461-9226. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering those very questions here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We happen to be here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, thanks to good people like Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have in mind this morning. How do you do it? You can either call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Julie, speaking of calls, Carol is on the phone,
awesome.
I think, calling in from Wayzata this morning. Hi, Carol. What's your question for Julie?
Hi, hello. I have a forsythia that I cannot seem to have it bloom, and I'm wondering what I need to do for the blooms.
Oh, forsythia.
And...
Yeah. That's a great plant. I'm sorry it's not blooming for you. Do you happen to know the cultivar of the plant?
It's the smaller version. Not supposed to get real big. I've had it for about, I'd say, 6 years.
Okay.
And it's bloomed maybe a couple of times, and then recently nothing.
Okay. The first thing I think about with forsythia is that this is a plant, for those people not familiar with it, it's a beautiful yellow blooming harbinger of spring. In other words, it blooms very early in the season. And these beautiful yellow flowers, they're great for early pollinators. It's really a lovely plant. There are lots of different cultivars, but some of them, their buds are not winter hardy. So if that plant is a cultivar, and we have a couple that were released by the University of Minnesota, and that those have buds that are winter hardy, but they're very large plants. So you mentioned this is a compact plant. It could be that that's the case with this plant, and I hope not, because you've had it 6 years and invested a lot of time and energy into it. But it may also be that it's too shaded. And so it's not so that in the spring, after the trees start to leaf out, it's shading that forsythia so it can't produce or set buds very well for the next year. When we have these early blooming spring shrubs like lilacs, forsythia, etc., they bloom and then they set buds fairly quickly, flower buds, for the next year. And it could be that this forsythia is in a location in your landscape where a tree is leafing out and it is shading the forsythia so that it's not as likely to produce healthy buds for next year. I hope that makes sense. So it could be the cultivar, and it could be the amount of light that plant is getting after, you know, as the trees around it start to leaf out.
All right. Thank you for the call. Julie Texter says, can I grow a small pussy willow plant potted indoors? And if so, what's the care for it?
A small pussy willow plant. I'm not sure there are such things as small pussy willow plants. You can certainly root pussy willow stems. You can put them in water and they'll root and you can plant them outside. But they really are very large plants. So I would say that if you do root them and pot them up for indoors purposes, you're going to have to move it outside when you're done with it indoors, because it's an outdoor plant. It's a plant that we really like for our landscapes because it blooms so early. You know, it has those nice fuzzy little buds, and then they break bud early in the season, and it's a great pollinator source for pollinators that are emerging early in the spring. So I would say root it inside, maybe enjoy it a little bit, but then plant it out in your landscape so that those pollinators can take advantage of that pollen early in the spring the next year.
All right, very good. Julie, this listener says, I have two apple trees, a Harrelson and a Honeycrisp. Is it okay to prune them now, and what's a good resource to learn how to prune them correctly?
Oh, I'm so glad someone asked that question, because we just released on our Yard and Garden News an article called How Will This Warm Winter Affect My Plants? And our extension fruit educator, Madeline Wimmer, addresses apple tree pruning in the last section under fruits. So you can still prune now. In Minnesota, we prune fruit trees when they're dormant. And this reduces the potential for diseases like fungal and bacterial diseases. And it also gives plants time as they exit dormancy for those pruning cuts to heal. So, yes, you can prune them now. And you can go ahead and do that. And we have a great video series, 3 videos on how to prune apple trees with Annie Claude, who was our former fruit educator, and Dave Bedford, who is a research scientist, with the Apple program. So you can find those on our extension site at extension.umn.edu, and visit Yard and Garden and visit our fruit section. There's also a good information about just growing apple trees in home landscapes and also pest management.
What a great resource that is.
It's a killer. Yeah,
it really is. Awesome. It's got to be one of the best, if not the best, in the country, I think.
Woohoo! Well, we have a lot of great fellow educators around the country, but we're really proud of this site. And
we keep
trying to improve it. We keep trying to look for the gaps so that we can fill those in. And this show helps a lot.
Well, that's
good. We hear from people, and we hear what people are asking about and want to know about. So thanks for all your input, everybody.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Back to the text screen, Julie. This listener says, we have a lot of unwanted wild violets. What's the best way to get rid of them?
Oh, if John was here. wild violets actually have a benefit, and that's that they are a pollen source for some of our sulfur butterflies. And maybe there's some room for them in your landscape, but if you just have too many of them, you can just dig them out. there. You can do that. You can also treat them with a broadleaf herbicide, and that would also take care of them as well. Now, if you have a bee lawn, violets are great. If you have a pollinator area that you want to really create for pollinators, using wild violets is really awesome for that. But if you really are looking for a cleaner lawn, then you would want to treat those or dig them up.
Okay. Looking at it, we had a bunch of text messages to get answered here, Julie. Here's another one. A healthy portion of my Christmas cactus fell off, and I'm hoping I can grow roots on it and repot. Please advise.
Yeah, you sure can. If it's a stem that's kind of woody at the end, maybe where it broke off, a lot of times they'll do this when they get really heavy. I would actually take cuttings of the younger stems, of, you know, go up the stem and go to the more the stems that are greener. You know, don't try to root that woody part of it. It's just too old. But you can take cuttings from those stems by just simply snipping at the joint between, these are called cladophylls. They're these little flat areas of the stem. Snip those off or break them off. You'll see little air roots actually starting to grow in probably some of them. Dip it in a little bit of root tone and then just stick it right in the soil. So you can do this in new pots. You know, you can set up a bunch of small pots and create a bunch of transplants that way. Or you can actually, if you have a big gapping space where that branch fell off, you can put them right back into the pot that they broke off of.
Okay. I'm looking at another text that says this. With the mild winter and moderate temperatures, is it still safe to trim trees, particularly bur oaks?
Yeah, it's still okay to prune oaks. Our Minnesota, our website called My Minnesota Woods has an oak wilt risk measurement or a little graphic that shows whether it's high risk, low risk, or no risk. You know, safe time to prune, and it's still a safe time to prune your oaks. So you can still do that, but visit that site for that information. So it's myminnesotawoods@umn.edu. It's a really great blog that is written by our forestry group and our natural resources educators, and they present a lot of good information if you have woodland and other good things too. So it's a great site also.
It really is. I'll tell you what, I know we need to take a break. I'm just looking at a texter that says, always good to hear your voice, Denny. You must know a lot about gardening and wine by now.
And house repair.
Well,
One more thing about the oak wilt is we usually advise pruning up until April 1st.
Oh.
But be watching that. Keep visiting that My Minnesota Woods site to keep watching that gauge when you're thinking about pruning your oaks, just because it may change a little bit this year, depending on the temperature and whatnot. But just keep an eye out for that. That's a really great question. I'm glad someone asked that.
No, it is. And with the crazy temps we've had, that's good advice. Thanks to people like Julie and Mary and Teresa, I've picked up a few tips on gardening and Jack Farrell on the
podcast. I love when
as well.
I have to refer to you for lawn care sometimes. I'm like, what do you think, Denny?
Oh, my.
What have you been doing?
It's fun. I can tap dance once in a while. All right, Julie, hang on. We'll take this bit of a break. We have more shows. Oh, my.
What have you been doing?
It's fun. I can tap dance once in a while. All right, Julie, hang on. We'll take this bit of a break. We have more show to come on our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering those questions. Don't forget, coming along next hour, our Home Improvement Hour, speaking of which, Andy Lindis will be answering those kind of questions next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming those lawn and garden questions this morning for Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. Julie, we have callers and we have texters. Let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave today. Another phone call coming in. Beth is calling in from East Bethel. Hi, Beth. What's your question for Julie?
Good morning. September, I planted four blueberry bushes in my yard, and I'm just wondering if you think they're going to survive from this mild winter.
They probably will. I'm not sure if you protected them at all, but if they're hardy Minnesota blueberries, University of Minnesota releases, they will probably be fine because it's been quite a mild winter. I think mulching them and caring for them, and be sure that you're having, I hope you had a soil test before you planted them, because they are acid-loving plants. In other words, they prefer a soil with a very low pH, about 4.5 to 5.5. So you'll be, if you have a higher pH than that, then you'll be wanting to treat those with an acid, a fertilizer for acid-loving plants, for plants that require a reduced soil pH. Sulfur can also help with that. You can work that into the soil, but you really should do that. I hope you did it when it was when they were planted. So we have a good blueberries webpage also on our fruit section. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about apple pruning. So it's at extension.umn.edu, and it's under our yard and garden fruit section. There's blueberry information there.
All right. A lot of text messages, too. Here's another one. When can I start a dinner plate dahlia in a pot? I will replant it outside when it's warm enough.
You could probably pot those up pretty soon. And it would depend on how long it takes for that plant to really emerge. You don't want to pot it too soon in your house because it's going to get too large, basically. But I think for dahlias, if anybody's a dahlia grower, I would like some advice. I have never grown dahlias before except for our annual dahlias. So that's a really good question. And anybody out there growing dahlias?
Okay.
When should she pot it up?
Listener wants to know, are leaves a good mulch?
Yeah, leaves are great. Leaves are a great mulch. They're free. That's one thing. And then also they're on your property, so you can just sweep them right into or rake them right into your plants. As plants start to come up through the leaves, you can just spread those leaves up away from the plant to allow it to reach some, have some sunlight reach it, and just leave them on your garden.
Okay.
They will break down.
Julie, a listener, says, good morning, great show, thank you. You just mentioned tropical hibiscus. Mine is currently inside and flowers every time I fertilize it. My question, can I start new plants by cutting back the outer 6 to 8 inches and sticking them into soil? Should I use a rooting compound?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you should do. For those people who don't know, rooting hormone comes in a powder or a gel, and you can purchase it at a local garden center. The name is sometimes called Root Tone, or there's other brands also. But you just make your cutting and dip that end in a little water and then in the rooting hormone, and then make a little hole in your pot, in your soil, or in perlite also, and just set that cutting in carefully. You don't want to wipe off all that root tone, so set it in carefully, close up around that stem, and then check it in probably, a week or two just by lifting it gently. I use a little, like a popsicle stick or a little spatula to lift it up so you don't pull the roots off that have developed. Just lift it up, check out the roots. If they still need to root some more, just put it back in the soil. But if it's got a nice bushy bunch of roots, you can just pot it up in a potting soil at that point, and you can make a cutting that way.
Okay. I haven't asked you who the Abiders are playing lately.
We are scheduled to play in March, so a little ways out there. March 9th, we'll be at Excelsior Brewing in the evening. And, looking forward to it. We haven't played for a little while. A lot of people have been on vacation in the group.
Sure.
So we're looking forward to that.
March 9th. Well, you can tell us that when you come back.
Yeah, I will do
that. Remind us that. Here is a question from a listener, Julie. Do hibiscus attract white flies?
Yeah, they can. A lot of indoor plants can attract white flies. I don't have trouble with white flies in my house, knock on wood. I hope you can hear that. And they're a pest. And they are difficult because they fly. I always think like the bugs that crawl are easier to manage than those that fly around. But if you have that problem, you can use some low-impact pesticides like insecticidal soap, neem oil. Just be sure that plant that you're treating is listed on the label. And be sure to follow the label and protect yourself by using any kind of PPE that's recommended.
Okay. This listener has two crimson maple trees. One is older. The other one is just a year old. Is it okay to trim both?
Yeah, good form for trees starts when they're very young, and you start by doing good pruning practices. We do have a good site on our extension site on pruning trees and shrubs, and so take a look at that. It's got some good diagrams, and you can go ahead and start and prune those. You might see a little bit of weeping of the sap, and that's perfectly normal, and it's just going to happen. And so, you could prune them both.
Texter says this about boxwoods. I have some boxwood bushes. I have not put burlap on. I didn't do that either. Yet, is it necessary at this point?
No, I wouldn't worry about it now. We're getting enough sunshine that's actually going to be helpful to the plants. We cover these plants sometimes because they're in a location where wind can desiccate those leaves. Those leaves they're broadleaf evergreens. They hold their leaves through the winter. And so sometimes we get dieback or burning, call it burning, when those leaves dry out in the winter. They turn brown and you get this kind of unsightly foliage. But usually it's just the leaves. It's not the branches. And the branches will bud back out in the spring. So at this point, I don't think I would cover them. And you probably got off easy this year because we had such a mild winter up until the past few days. So I think you're okay for now.
Okay. Julie, 60 seconds to go. Can avocado pits turn into plants, and are they Minnesota hardy?
No, they're not Minnesota hardy, but you can root them. You can put them in a little bit of water, and I think there's some diagrams online about how to do that. It's usually a kid project.
Okay. Here's another one. What's the best place to plant fern peonies?
I believe that they need full sun. And they'll need well-drained soil, and you'll want to be sure to read the information about fern peonies, about how deeply to plant them. Peonies are pretty fussy about that. So I know ordinary peonies, it's about an inch and a half below you plant the root, but I'm not sure if fern leaf peonies are a little bit different, but okay. Be sure to read about it.
Julie, we have to run. Always a pleasure. Thanks for the help. And don't forget, get to the Arboretum and
yes.
Get on that University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. Thanks again, Julie. Let's do this again here in a couple of weeks or so, huh?
Sounds good, Denny. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Now, coming up next hour, right after our news break, we'll have Andy Lindis answering any kind of a lawn or home improvement question. Confusing my shows here. Any kind of a home improvement question you may have, call us or text us at our usual number, 651-461-9226. We expect highs today, but a windy day near 29 degrees. We'll drop to 22 overnight, 34 with sunny tomorrow. We'll have more weather details coming up on 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.